that this morning it was released for Easter Camp in the press, a great article. And for Matthew's in there, and Jonathan, the show's Jonathan. Jonathan's dead, I'm famous. No, that's really funny. It's just right in there, so it's wonderful. Catherine and I will go this afternoon. It's wonderful. I'll bring you greetings from Holland. It's been amazing with my mother. She's aging a little bit, 82, but she's still quite well. And she's getting better again, so it's good. She hopefully will be here later this year for the wedding of our son, Fabian, and Samara, who are doing the kids this morning upstairs with the other leaders. And so that'll be wonderful. It was only 10 days, very fast to visit, but it was really, really good. I also bring you greetings from other churches. I went to Doorbreakers Church, which is a great breakthrough church, great church, right? They actually also split into two services now. They have one in the morning service, the first one at 9:30, about 1,200 people go in that one. And the second one is a new one, about 600 people go to that one at 11:30, I think it is. And it's just amazing what God is doing. There's this revival. There's this sense of revival. They got five campuses now in Holland. Then we were at Arlene Westerhoff's church. It's called God's Embassy in Amsterdam. Arlene Westerhoff is she basically leads the prophetic council and the prophetic ministry in Holland. But she's just been promoted. She was doing it together with Sharon Stone from the UK, a very famous prophet, who actually told me, I was sitting next to her, and she said, Gideon, did you know that I lived 2 minutes from Windsor Castle, and that I was actually like one of the private prayer warriors and confidants for the Queen. So, hey man, 2 degrees, right? I mean, she knows the Queen, you know? And she prayed for the salvation for the kids when they were young, for William and Harry. So isn't it amazing? People like that who just have been like confidants for the Queen of England in this way. But anyway, she and now give it over to Arlene Westerhoff. So Arlene is now also overseeing Europe with the prophetic, and she's hopefully going to be here either later this year, right here in Christchurch, or next year. We don't know exactly when. But honestly, there's such a sense of revival. It's not my message. I'm just saying something else. Just a sense of revival, and this is the prophecies she had over us. I had a beautiful prophecy over her, too. Amazing. But she had prophecy over me and Catherine to come, she told us, when you see her again. And just other prophecies, even from the prophetic meeting that Catherine was part of here in Christchurch 2 weeks ago. Unbelievable. They were saying there's people from outside of Christchurch, and they were saying how there's revival coming to this house. That means Harmony Church. And of course, we've been believing it for quite a while, but let's lean in, because when prophets start seeing it and saying it, and we don't even know these people. I mean, we know them, but the sense of they don't know anything that's happening here, really. And so for them to start saying stuff, that's something that God is saying. So now we need to lean in into the secret place, but also just together as a body of Christ to say, yes, Lord, bring it on. Amen? Amen. So, Morena, so good to see you here. It was really cold in Holland, you know. I said to my mother, I'm never going to Holland again in March, you know. It's like 10 degrees every day. It's like, oh, the only thing we do is drink coffee and eat cake, you know. And it's not too bad. It's not too bad, but I gained some weight again. But and then Singapore was glorious yesterday. Come on, everybody for Singapore, yeah? Heard this right? Like, it's just a beautiful day, and it's so good. I'm being back here, and I'm looking forward to going to Easter Camp this afternoon. I'm so happy what's happening over there. So proud of our team. Something funny, I heard about this man who was on holiday in Jerusalem with his family, and all of a sudden his mother-in-law died. He went to make arrangements to get her body back home. The consulate said that it would cost $5,000 to get her shipped back home, but only $150 to get her buried in right there in Jerusalem. After deep thought, he told the consulate that he wanted to have her body shipped back home. The consulate says, man, you must have really loved your mother-in-law. He said, no, it's not so much that. I just remember a case here years ago when they buried this guy, and on the third day he arose, and I can't take the chance. I can't take the chance. Give it up for the mothers-in-law. Come on. I love my mother-in-law. She was wonderful. Wonderful lady. She's been away in heaven for quite a while now. Pontius Pilate, Joseph, I really don't understand. You are one of the richest men in this region, and you spend a small fortune on the new tomb for you and your family, and you want to give this to this man, Jesus? Joseph, his reply, it's just for the weekend. Anyway. That's been going around this one. You must have seen it. It's going around this one. The latest one. I've never heard of that one before. The last one was quite funny. Oh, man, I love Jesus. I love the cross. I love, honestly, Easter is the core of our Christian faith, right? It is the core celebration, this whole weekend, everything that happened here. And I love Good Friday. On Good Friday, we remember that Christ suffered, you know, for the sin of the world, that he carried the sin of the world upon himself in his own body into the grave. It was on Good Friday that he destroyed sin, he destroyed death. It was on Good Friday that he canceled every debt we owed. Yeah. By the way, this was 2,000 years ago. There was no debt then from you and me, right? But he canceled everything, past and the future of the whole world. So beautiful, everything. Now, nothing is left to be accused of. Isn't it amazing? If you're a Christian, you stand absolutely innocent and free. Nothing can accuse you. Only the devil will accuse you. Right. On Good Friday, and often we don't talk about this, I can't talk today about as much, but it's also when the new covenant was cut. Remember, the covenant was his blood covenant. So on Good Friday, we celebrate that he cut a new covenant. The old is gone, the new has come. That's why he said, it is finished. What is finished? The old has finished. And you know, the old was such a performance thing. Even the Ten Commandments, you can see it, and the Ten Commandments still stand in the sense of moral code. Absolutely. Oh, we're not going to have the Ten Commandments now? No, it's very good stuff. But what it says is, you shall. You see, in the old covenant, you shall even love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. That was only the old covenant. It's great scripture. You shall. But in the new covenant, after Jesus gave his life and rose from the grave, it was I will give you a new heart. I will do this for you. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. It's no longer about your performance, about what you have to do. Now it's about Jesus, and he puts his love and his life into your life, and now we yield our life to his life, and Bob's your uncle, right? It's just amazing. So it's just wonderful he's done it. But you know, so a lot of things happen on Good Friday, and Josh, I'm sure he said a lot of good things on Friday about this message. It was only 10 minutes, so well done for 10 minutes. It's hard to do in 10 minutes, isn't it? It was a good day. That's what's called Good Friday. Hey, but Easter Sunday was a great day. Why is Easter Sunday a great day? It's because that Jesus rose from the grave. He beat death. Come on. He is alive, but also he made us alive with him. It's a great and powerful day. It's called a happy day. Oh, happy day. They didn't want to play it this time because we say every year we play this song. But it's, I love this song. Oh, happy day. And Donna says, come on, we've got to play this song. I know, I love this song too. And it's wonderful like this. You know, it's really good to know what we have been saved from. Why are these crosses here? You know, what have we been saved from? See, the Bible says that no person is perfect. Not even one. It says here in Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every person on the planet that ever lived and ever will live falls short of the glory of God, falls short of the moral code of God. We've all done our own ways. We've all gone our different ways. We all rejected God. We've done stupid things, selfish things in our lives. But God, in his grace and in his mercy, did something about our imperfection. He did something about our sin, which means missing the target. That's what sin actually means. You miss the target for life and for godliness and holiness. He did something about the virus that was released after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden that long ago. So what did he do? What did he do? He put the virus, he put the sin on Jesus. And Jesus put it on the cross. I love this. 2 Corinthians, I think, Josh, you said too, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, that God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is the gospel. I love this in the Passion Translation. For God made the only one who did not know sin, of course he didn't know sin, he was God, to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the very righteousness of God through our union with him. One of the most beautiful scriptures and verses to describe our salvation through our sinless Savior and the death on the cross. Colossians 2, you're going to get some scriptures today because it says it all. Colossians 2, he has forgiven all our sins and canceled every debt we owe. Christ has done away with it by nailing it on the cross. Now, I find that so interesting, you know, because we read it like right now, right? We read it like, he's forgiven all our sins and my sin of yesterday and last week and later this afternoon and tomorrow, and he's dead. It was all done 2,000 years ago. For us, it's really real right now, but for him, it was all done. He didn't know what you're going to do, or maybe he didn't know what you're going to do. Anyway, but it was all a long time ago, 2,000 years ago. It's amazing, isn't it? He put all that sin of humanity up on this cross. Everything before the cross, everything behind, after the cross, everything right now, all the little things. I'm not only talking about bad stuff in the sense of doing bad things and stealing and lying. I'm talking about maybe not praying enough or not having faith enough. It's all sin because you're all missing the mark, right? Come on, the stuff all the time. But he paid it all. Amen. For everybody. Yeah. Forever. That's absolutely amazing. Now, somebody said, Gideon, does it mean everybody's saved? Well, here we go. Yes and no. Universalism says yes because it's just happened and that's why everybody's saved. No, it doesn't say in the Bible. The Bible says by faith. So God has made it available for everybody, right? But you enter it by faith. And being born again. Unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. So don't get me wrong. I'm not a universalist. But it's a lot better than we think it is. Yeah. Right? It's a lot bigger than I think it is. I think we have no idea what really happened. We have some idea, but not the whole big idea of really what happened on the cross. The most powerful exchange happened there in this way. So now God sees you and me as righteous as his son. Jesus, who knew no sin, becomes sin for us, that we become innocent like he was. I love this. I've done it every year. I say this. He became what we were so that we can become what he is. What a powerful exchange we have received. I love John. John the Baptist, they say, was the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. It was the last one, but also the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. He said this in John 1:29. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I want to say something else about sin sometimes because we, I guess, so focused on sin. See, God is no longer focused on sin because Jesus paid for it. Now, what he is focused on, he doesn't want you to sin because he doesn't want you to do stupid things because it hurts you and hurts other people. That's why he doesn't like it. But the thing is, though, he already paid for it. I love it when it says here, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, I believe it's really the sin of the world, the infection that makes people sinning. The infection, he takes a step back, the sin of the world, the thing that came into that virus that was released when Adam and Eve sinned. That virus he took upon himself and all the other stuff, of course, that came after that, the sinning. But we are so sin-focused and we need to learn as Christians to be son-focused. He doesn't want us to be sin-focused. He dealt with the sin. Don't be amorized by it. Amorized? Or something like this. Amor. Love it, you know. Yeah. Love talking about the stuff, you know. Do well enough, be bad enough. He is not even there. Son-focused. What Jesus has done for us is so amazing, so full. John goes even further. John also wrote a revelation, and he says this in 13:8. He says, the Lamb who was slain before the creation of the world. See, God always saw us in Christ as holy and righteous and pure before him, right? Even before the foundation of the world. He already knew what was going to happen to Adam and Eve. He knew all that stuff was going to happen, right? And so he says, before the foundation of the world, he knew this. And then his finished work on the cross made us holy and righteous. Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. Come on, in Jesus Christ we are justified. I love this word justified. You know justification, you know what it means, right? Three of you. Justification means just as if I've never sinned, right? Just as if it never happened. Adam and Eve never happened. That's what I mean. Just it comes from the word dikaios, which is Greek. Both righteousness and justification are both from the word dikaios. And dikaios is much more than just forgiveness. Dikaios is a word that means actually innocence. And I'll tell you why it's so much different. Because if you say forgiveness, then basically what you're saying is, man, I'm using voice. Basically what you're saying is, I am forgiven, which means you've done something bad, but now you've been forgiven, right? Yeah. Jesus says that's not justification. That's not biblical, just not what Jesus did. What he does, he makes us innocent, which means you never did it. Yeah, but I did do it. Well, he says you haven't. So who are you going to believe? What he does is, yes, of course you did it, but he took it. And that's why he is guilty, and that's why he went to the cross, and now we accept that we live in forgiveness. Every day of our lives. Wow. Right?
So good.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Some of you are like, what is he talking about? And we are forgiven people.
Yes.
I never ask for forgiveness from God anymore. Never. He's done everything. What, he hasn't done enough? No. It was a complete work. If I make a mistake, I'll say sorry. I'll apologize. I'll never say forgive me. That's ridiculous. 2,000 years ago, he forgave everything.
Yeah.
Why do you ask him to forgive you? You're already forgiven.
So
makes no sense. It actually nullifies or diminishes the finished work of the cross. Right?
Yeah.
We have to have a bigger revelation of what he actually did. In Corinthians, it says that we have received a ministry of reconciliation, not counting our sins against us. Why? Because of Jesus. Because he took it. As far as the east is from the west. Well, you can't even go for the east. I mean, it's like, it's forever, it's gone. I love it even in Hebrews 10, it talks about, he says, he's perfect, once for all sacrificed, made us perfect forever. So what are you talking about? Now, I know in our experience that we make mistakes. We do it every day. But I want you to get a glimpse of who you are as a son and a daughter of God. That you're not stuck in this sin cycle, because Jesus is not stuck in that. Actually, that's why he went to the cross. Why would he otherwise go to the cross? He goes, forgive you right now. I say, okay, I'll forgive you again. I did it fine. Okay, give you again. That's nonsense. He already did it 2,000 years ago. Some of you are saying, Gideon, this is too deep for me. Well, that's okay. That's okay. But the thing is, though, I want you to see how big your God is. I want to see how big his sacrifice is and how amazing it is for you and for me to make us freedom. Don't be so sin conscious. Be Jesus conscious. Be son conscious in your way. Come on. For Jesus, this is what it says here. You know, if you knew covenant righteousness, it's really a declaration of innocence. Colossians 1. For God is satisfied to have all the fullness dwelling in Christ, and by the blood of his cross, come on guys, everything in heaven and on earth is brought back to himself, back to its original intent, restored to innocence again. Adam and Eve never happened. And the consequence of sin never happened.
Yeah.
It happened, but he took it.
Yeah.
He took it away from the world. Thank you, Jesus. That's why we fall in love with Jesus so much, because everything is about him. Everything is about Jesus. He did it all. Not a little bit, Jesus. It's everything. He is our life. He is our salvation. He is everything for us. Everything comes from it. I love this. I'll illustrate it a different way. I love this whole thing. I did it last year too. Named. I love this thing so much. It's called my name change. So here we have Jesus. He is the Son of God, completely righteous, right? No sin, pure and holy. Here is Gideon or Martha or Catherine. Not Catherine so much, but me and Martha. And we are sinful, right? So here I'm Gideon. I am this sinner before I came to Christ, right? Sinner, right? Person. And here's Jesus, and he's completely righteous. Now what he does, he changes the names. He changes it. What he does, he puts his name above my name. Gideon, I'll become you. I'll become you. So that you can become me. You must be kidding me.
Wow.
He put his name above me, and then he puts my name above him. Donna is having a fun time, you know. She's like, come on, guys, this is just amazing. That's why this gospel is so powerful and so glorious. But it has to come from here, to your heart, to be a revelation of who you really are in Jesus Christ. But more than that, who he is in your life. Because you'll be nowhere with him, but you have everything with him. And that's why we love him so much. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We love, come on, say it together. We love you, Jesus. We love you so much. This was the plan before the creation of the world. Come on, Ephesians 1, God saw us, come on, in Jesus Christ, before the creation of the world, as holy and blameless. Please say to yourself, I am holy. I am blameless. And you are. Because in your spirit, you are born again. You're exactly like Jesus. Yes, you do some dumb things in your mind and your soul. We do and we'll do the rest of our lives. But again, Jesus paid for it all. But in your spirit, who you are with Christ, you are cocooned in his presence. You're one spirit with him and you cannot sin in your soul, in your spirit. And that's who you really are. You are a sinless person. You really are. Oh yeah, what about all the stuff? I just told you. Sinless person you are. But in your body, in your mind, you still sin. And now what he wants you to do is to subject the stuff, to your thoughts, according to him. That's why you take captive those thoughts and make it obedient to Christ. Of course you do this kind of stuff, but you have to know that you are already forgiven, and you have to know that you're a new creation in Christ, and nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can take it away from you. It's just absolutely incredible. We are so destined to be like Jesus in every way. Come on, it's so good. Okay, this is only Good Friday. That was only Good Friday. Let's go. Let's go to Easter Sunday, right? Come on, Good Friday was a good day. Come on, new covenant, all this kind of stuff. Forgiven, innocence, blah, 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 right? All the stuff that is talked about. But now we continue because Easter Sunday is a great day. Don't believe half the gospel on Good Friday. No, Easter is coming, right? This Resurrection Sunday is coming on Sunday today. I mean, forgiveness is good. You know, a gift of righteousness is good. A name change is all good. But what does a change of name mean if we don't change from the inside out? That's the problem. I mean, then Ephesians says we were dead in our sins. Okay, if he dealt with the sin, then we're still dead. But not in our sins, but dead. I don't want to be a dead forgiven people, a dead forgiven person. I don't want to be dead. I want to be alive. Yeah. I don't want to be a dead person in this way. Come on. I mean, it's great to be positionally, and many of us still believe that, positionally saved and forgiven. It's positionally. That's great news, by the way, because positionally, I'll take it, man, any day. But the problem with the positional is that you are positionally, you are, but then you look at your own life and you think, oh, no, I'm so sinful. This is so bad. I'm so bad. I may be a son of God, but a son doesn't look like it, you know. But that's what you're going to do. So the problem is you can't just be positionally saved. You can't just be positionally forgiven. Something has to happen on the inside. That actually happened on Resurrection Sunday. Actually, what really happened is on 40 days, 50 days later, it's on Pentecost Sunday. Then when people born again. But let's not go too deep because otherwise I'll lose too many of you in this space. Let's not go there right now. But the thing is, oppositionally, we need to have a new heart. We need a new heart. We need a new hard drive. We need to be made alive. Yeah. I don't want to just be forgiven positionally. Oh, he looks at you, oh, because of Jesus, you're a nice guy, but actually, really, you're not. Thank you, darling. So many Christians think that way. And they have such a bad feeling about themselves. I mean, I may be positivity, you know, kind of impersonated. Personified. Sorry, no, I've been speaking too much Dutch, you know. Not impersonated. That's not quite nice, too. Personified. But the thing, what was that? Kathy, you distracted me. Rightly so, but I'm still distracted now. Personified in this way. What am I saying? Positive. Oh, yeah. So the thing is, though, But I honestly, I may have some stuff when I do some dumb things, and so I have regrets and things like that. We're like all of us have, but I don't really feel bad about myself. I really don't. And you can say, well, you're positivity personified, impersonated. No, I'm not. I know who I am, or I'm actually growing to know who I am. I am a son of God. I am loved by God. I've been completely forgiven, restored. It may not all work out yet, but I'm aligning myself more and more to who I already am in my spirit. I'm a living spirit. that will never die. Come on, so powerful. Forgiveness is only a bump in the road, guys. That's why Jesus paid for it all. It is the resurrection life he's after. He wants to put his Zoe life. I think that last week you talked about infusion. Imputed righteousness, which is great. Imputed righteousness. But the thing is that what he wants to impute in you, what he wants to put in you is his Zoe life, Z-O-E, which is the God life. That's why it says that we need to be born again. What does that mean? It means being born of the Holy Spirit. When we say yes to Jesus, when we say thank you, Jesus, for the cross, it's the Christmas child, right? The Christmas gift to us. So the Christ said, thank you, Jesus, that you went for a cross 33 years later after you were born. And thank you for the sacrifice. I believe in you. When you believe in you, in him, suddenly when he comes, the Holy Spirit will come into your life. And you receive salvation. You receive forgiveness. The forgiveness that he gave 2,000 years ago. Not now. You receive it now. But he already gave it 2,000 years ago. And there's actually a difference. We need a heart transplant. Ephesians 2. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Let's say it together. Made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. Come on. It's by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Come on, this is amazing. When Christ died, we died. When he rose, we rose. When he ascended to heaven, you and I ascended to heaven. And we are now co-seated with Christ in heavenly places. What are you talking about, my little sin issue? I want you to be a bit bigger than that. You're seated in heavenly places with your spirit in Christ. The other stuff is earthly stuff you've got to deal with and be wise about. But I want you to see who you really are and where you are really seated. Come on, it's so important for you and for me. I tell you why it's important. Not just for your own identity, but also for who you will be to other people in the world. If you're so timid, you don't even say boo to anybody, you know? I was on the plane yesterday with somebody and we talk. I thought, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to say anything about Christianity. Talk, you know? That was really good. And then suddenly she said to me, because he knew I was a pastor. By then, of course, he knew I was a pastor and all my kids involved in ministry and Easter camp, all stuff, you know? And he says, so what brand of Christianity are you? I don't even know that existed, a brand of Christianity. I said, well, we're the happy bunch. We're the happy. It says in the Bible, Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy like no one else, like more than his contemporary. I mean, Jesus was the happiest man who ever lived. We are happy church. She came from some other church, in the sense of another brand. and more. I'm so wise. I mean, I'm impressed. I'm impressed, right? Yeah, don't ruin it, right? No, don't ruin it. It was like a more subdued brand. And the thing is, though, it's lovely. But the thing is, though, there's no life in what she had experienced. She actually went to a school that had this brand. And the thing is, though, it was not a life for her at all. She had no clue what I was talking about. But I was really interested to see that she actually asked a question, though, in the end. I said, here's my card. Watch this online. Of course, nothing online today. But anyway, next week, you know, come online because just watch some stuff and maybe that's how we. But I'm not going to be timid about it. We got to be wise, though. You don't want to bash people over the head, you know, about your own Christianity, you know, and your own brand, you know. No, you can't be totally bad. Okay, so almost done. So here we are. So, Good Friday. We died to sin on Good Friday. Amen. We had a name change. We just talked about this, right? And then he puts his name above our name above his name. That's just amazing. We go from being called sinners to saints, right? Yeah. In the New Testament, you have nobody. Paul never says to the sinners in Corinth, to the sinners in Galatia. It doesn't exist, guys. It is to the saints, even though they were sleeping with their mother-in-law or whatever, they were doing not nasty stuff. They were not nice people. I mean, they were doing some dumb things. Really. But the thing is, though, he didn't see it that way. Yes, that's a discipleship issue. Yes, it's a wrong issue, but that's not who you are. And so what he does, he calls them into who they really are. And, you know, then you really stop sinning. Why? Because then you know who you are. You're not trying to survive, trying to pretend, trying to work your way like, I can do this, and then you fall again. No, I can do this. No. You go the other way around and say, hey, I am the righteousness of God. I am a son of God. It doesn't belong in my life. And after a while, you become more and more like this, and some of those addictions just go away because you just focus on him all the time. That's how it works. For too long, we've done all this stuff on the other way. And then all the problems come out on the news. I tell you. Come on, guys. Declared righteous forever, a new covenant. I haven't even spoken about it, really. I don't have time right now. A new covenant was given to us, people. A new covenant, a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, his righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's who we are as sons and daughters of God. So it's a good day, Friday. It's a good day, but a great day is Sunday. Come on, it's not just a name change, but this is the line, but it's an impartation of a nature change. Our nature has changed. Oh, come on, thank you so much, Jesus, because you give us a new hard drive. You give us a new thing. The other one was broken, and the brokenness makes us broken, and we do broken things in our lives, you know. But now we've given a new life. And I love the new life. We become new creations in Christ Jesus, born of God himself. Come on, we've been resurrected into new creation life. Colossians 2, when you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure, not by a snip of the tip, but Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away, don't laugh, no, you can laugh, but listen to the next thing, this is important. Who's had a snip of the tip? That's good. So a cutting of circumcision. No, be quiet. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision. Be quiet, Kevin. Spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your... Thank you. Do you actually believe it? He cut it out. Life's gone. That old hard drive is gone. If you're a Christian, it's gone. Why are you still laughing? For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. Come on, it's good preaching. Come on. This is like, oh, typo. Oh, nut. You're a circumcised nut? What? I love it. That's probably me, actually, because I did it last night. That's totally me. I was so jet-lagged, you know. That's like, uncle, yeah. It's like what David. That's like what David said to the giant, right? You are uncircumcised. I don't know, whatever. Okay, here we go. Stay with me. For you were buried with Christ, and you were baptized, and with him. Listen to this. Easter Sunday. With him, you. Let's say it together. You were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God. Were raised Christ from the dead. Your sinful nature has been cut out. The corruption has been cut out. That's what being born again means. You're born of the Spirit of God. Your spirit is now together with his spirit, one spirit, holy and righteous forever. He takes the old one out. He puts the new one out. It's like a new hard drive for some of you who find it easier to see that way. It's a beautiful hard drive. Can't be corrupted. Incorruptible. Because you're born of incorruptible seed. Sons and daughters of God. This is amazing. Come on, this is amazing. You know, eternal life is not really a place, but it's a person. Yeah. It's not really a place, it's a person. Yeah, there's heaven. Yeah, there's a new earth coming. Yes, there's a mansion for you. I get all that stuff. But the Bible says you get it with the person. The place comes with the person. You know, you don't go seeking the place, you go seek the person. You know, it says here in the Bible, John 17, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, Father, the only true God, and Christ, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now my question to you is today, do you know him? I know him. Do you know him? Paul says in Philippians 3, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And Jesus himself says this in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. See, God's life is eternal. When you say yes to Jesus, you're already eternal in your spirit, but you become eternal with him. And you're going to go to heaven. You'll be with him forever. You're connected with him both in this lifetime and when your body stops operating. And you go straight to heaven. You go straight to be with him because you're one with him. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. God's life is eternal. No sickness, no pain. Born of God. Come on, it's just so beautiful. That's why Jesus destroyed death and he brought life. He says, the enemy comes, John 10:10, to kill and destroy. But Jesus, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Do you want to have eternal life? Anybody wants to have eternal life? Then know God. Get to know God. Then say yes to Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus Christ to be crucified, to take the sin of the world, your sin, my sin, upon himself. That anyone who believes in that will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Today is your lucky day, sitting here and hear the gospel like this. If you're not a Christian yet, you're not a believer, maybe today you've been stirred by the Holy Spirit who is knocking at the door of your heart and he wants to come in. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to love on you. He wants you to come home. Anybody wants to come home today? If you do, I'm going to pray in a minute. I'm going to a prayer of commitment to the Lord and receiving Christ, receiving this beautiful gift of salvation, gift of forgiveness, life. Is there anybody who I can include in this prayer today? If it's you, could you please lift up your hand and I know who's I'm praying with, who's including himself in this prayer. Can you just lift up your hand and say, man, I need Jesus today. I need Jesus. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else? I need Jesus today. Thank you so much. You know, the Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and you believe in your heart that God the Father raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Is there anybody else who says, I want Jesus? Today is your moment. Today is your moment. The best day of your life. I did it when I was 10 years old. I've never looked back. I've had my hard times, but he's always been faithful to me. Anybody else? Thank you so much. Well done. Thanks for your honesty. It's really good. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Can we all join together in this prayer of receiving Jesus? Say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you, Father, for raising him up to life. Today I said, I want to belong to you. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Today I make you Lord of my life. And I will serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, amen. Let's clap for these guys who made decision for Christ today. The best decision you can ever make in your life. So good. Okay, I'm almost done. Just for us who are Christians already, well, all of us are now. That's wonderful. About this power that he has for us. Guys, this power is real. This power is real. Ephesians 1:19 says, how incredibly great is his power to help those who believe in him. He's helping us. The same mighty power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I want to just encourage you for a moment. If you're struggling with something in your life, some temptation, some addiction, some faith you need, some reconciliation of a relationship you need, or whatever, The power is real. The power of the Holy Spirit is real, and He can help you and strengthen you in your life. Colossians 2, you were dead because of your sins, because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God, come on, but God, then He made us alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins and canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. Come on, there's so much power in the cross by the Holy Spirit. He even disarmed the devil and all his cohorts with that. You have power. Let's stand together. You have power. You have power. Say, I have power. I have power. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't need to be a Marvel hero to have power. You are a son of the living God. You have power. You have power to live the life that God has called you to live. And whatever breakthrough you need right now, I just pray you reach to heaven and say, Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you that I'm seated with you in heavenly places. But also thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that is at work within me. Thank you, Lord, that I am an overcomer and I will overcome these hurdles that are in me right now. Whether it's sickness, whatever it is, Lord, in Jesus' name, the breakthrough coming even today, right now. Just receive it from heaven. He gives everything from heaven. Come on, let's receive it by faith. Lord, I need whatever you need. Say, Lord, I need my healing. I need this provision. I need this whatever. Right now, in this moment, it's available to you through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm very happy to pray for anybody else at the end if you need more breakthrough. If